would never have even thought about competing in formulas if it wasn't for W Series, because, you know, they gave me the chance, they gave me the dream.
Hello and welcome to another edition, a special edition of the Alternative F1 podcast. I'm joined by my, you know, normal band of merry men. you need no introduction, but I will do anyway, just to be professional. Sam Wilson and Matthew Connell, how are you guys?
Not too bad.
Yeah, good. I'm quite excited about this today because all the Spanish I've been learning in quarantine, I can show how badly I've done, because we actually have a special guest from Spain today.
Yes. Yes, exciting! You are our first ever driver that we've actually had on a podcast as well. So it's another first as well, special.
I'm looking forward to talking to someone else about racing other than you two.
You see, there's no love here.
I love you guys, but
I'm gonna see if I get this right. So make sure I get this right, because I'm always getting this wrong. So it's Belén García, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
See, I put a little accent on there.
Muy bien, Andre. Muy bien. Estupendo, tío.
This one here is going to keep on showing off that he knows Spanish, and Sam and I will be struggling the whole time just saying, sí, and that's it.
That works.
So Belén is a W Series driver who we are becoming big fans of. So how are you?
I'm fine. A bit stressed now. I have exams from uni and everything going on, but yeah, fine.
Oh, so we're bang in the middle of your exams now?
More or less. I'm preparing for them. I have them in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, more or less.
Wow.
So how are you coping, obviously, with the lockdown? So what part of Spain are you from? And
I'm
where are you now?
Barcelona, near the track. So
okay.
I'm in the center of everything, and here it will be late that we start to go out to the street and everything. But yeah, I'm coping well. I keep myself busy and everything, but yeah, it's difficult, you know. I'm not a person that is used to being at home, and
yeah.
I like to be out every time and do many, many things, and now I have to calm down and just wait.
God, so how long have you actually been quarantined in?
Well, I've lost count. I think 8 weeks.
Wow.
From the
okay. A lot of practicing going on then.
Yeah, a lot. I'm not used to this. I don't know what I'll do when I go out.
I think everyone's having that. I think I'm just going to be walking around with my laptop, speaking to everyone on Zoom,
exactly.
Even though I'm right next to them. So, thank you again for joining us. We've really been, you know, trying to push and making sure that we have, but under our time of being broadcasting, a W Series driver going to F1. That's what we're aiming for. So we're going to be rooting for you as well.
Okay, I want that too.
You've got to make this happen now. We put our neck on the line now.
I want to see what Andre's bet is. Are you putting a tenner or 100 or a grand on it?
More money than I actually should do.
Okay. Belén, I'd take those odds and cash in, because you're probably going to make it, so you're fine.
100%. So just before we get started, obviously, guys, thank you very much for tuning in with us all of these weeks. I can't remember what episode we're in now. We are on.
This is eight, number nine.
Oh my God! We've lasted all these months, all these weeks. Brilliant. So yeah, just to keep on remembering to like and share all of our stuff on Alternative Sport at Verge Mag on Instagram, and then obviously on Twitter, so forth as well. Make sure you guys subscribe, on our YouTube channel. Anyway, now that I've got all that stuff out of the way, I'll be doing it again anyway, just to make sure. Let's start from the start.
I'm so interested in this, because, you know, with my personal connections to Spain, my girlfriend being Spanish, so when I go and visit Spain, I speak to everyone about sport, of course. There's such a big focus on a sport, the most obvious sporting rivalry, which is, of course, Real Madrid-Barcelona. And when you talk outside of football, for me, what I always find everyone talks about as the big superstar in sports in Spain is Marc Márquez. So for yourself, going through the car option, what brought you into racing? Because, of course, there are big Spanish drivers like Carlos Sainz Jr., Fernando Alonso. But what brought your background into becoming a racing driver?
So there's a tradition here in Barcelona, in the area of Catalonia, of motor racing, a really, really strong tradition. So my dad used to race in motorbikes and enduro. And yeah, I think I got that from him. Also, he and my mom, they own a timekeeping company that time keeps Formula E, FIA WEC, championships like this, a lot of them. So I think racing has always been in my blood and in, at home, and it has been the everyday life. So it's all of me.
What was your earliest memory of racing? Did you start out with karting? Did you go to races? What got you addicted?
Everything, but my first event was, I think I had a motorbike and a motocross motorbike at 6, and just as a hobby. But then at 9, I got my first kart, and it was still a hobby, but more serious. I liked that a lot. And then from 2015, I started to compete in the nationals. So then was when everything escalated, and to now.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't even properly walk at 6 years old, let alone ride a motorbike. So you've been competing, am I right, in pole vault for quite a while.
Yes.
So by the sounds of things, having a bike at 6, a car at 9, being a pole vaulter, you've been in competition for basically your entire life. How does pole vault compare to racing? I know, obviously, they are two very, very different sports, because one is flinging yourself ridiculously high over a bar that petrifies me, if I'm honest. But in terms of that buzz, kind of, you know, how does it compare to racing? I know they're very different, so one's probably not better than the other, but there's got to be some difference in kind of the buzz that you get from it.
Yeah, it's really different. The way you compete, the way you prepare for it, the worlds are really, really different. But always you can take something from every sport. I don't know. It's not this sport in this sport, any of them, you know. Pole vault has taught me a lot, because I started athletics like 13 years ago. So yeah, I learned to have the constants, the discipline, everything to train every day. And also a really, really important part was the imagery, you know, imagining myself like jumping. This is really, really important in pole vault. And this is something that has helped me a lot in racing, you know, in the start and everything, things like this, or when imagining a corner or a lap on a track. I'm really used to that, so that helped a lot.
That's cool.
So Vilain, so tell me about like what you love most about racing, really. Like, is it like the community and, you know, the adrenaline? So tell us like how, you know, what you love about the sport the most.
What do I not love? I mean, it's everything. It's a lifestyle. You never stop racing. You just wait from race to race, and you prepare, and you always focus on the race. Doing whatever you do. I mean, I study thinking that I have to study, because if not, I can train, and then if not, I can go to the race. So yeah, it's the family you create then, because you spend that much time with your team, with the people around them, everything around it, you know. You focus all your life in this sport, everything, every aspect of them. And then the sacrifice from your family too, and from everyone around you, it demands everything from you. So you give it everything and it returns.
I mean, I find it amazing that you're actually, you know, studying while you're, you know, doing this sport as well. So what are you studying at the moment?
I'm studying a degree in telematics engineering.
No, you're automatically smarter than every single person on this podcast.
Thanks, guys. I'm out. I'm
that's
out.
It. Really, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you know, just, that's you know, I completely bow down. You're studying that, plus you have to study the track, and then obviously, you know, the other races and all those other things as well. Like, automatically, above us.
I'm just trying. It doesn't mean I succeed.
That's right. You're already ahead of us by far. Don't worry, especially these guys here. So tell us a little bit more about, like, you know, being part of the actual racing community, because obviously, you know, I see that you guys are, you know, from all the information that we've been seeing, like on Instagram and so forth like that, you guys are seem like a close-knit team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, out of the motorsport family, there are many, many people that don't understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, you're sit and turning a wheel.
They think it's just easy.
It's effortless. And when people understand what you're suffering, and when people understand what are you focusing on, and what are your dreams and everything of that, you connect with them. And that only happens in the family of motorsports. I mean, in university, they don't get it. In athletics, they don't get it because it's so different. And when you get to this point to meet people that love your sport in the same way and that share your passion, it's amazing.
What's that conversation like, you know, with the family and your friends to say, listen, I'm going to get into being racing? What was that like? I can't even imagine.
In my family, there wasn't even a conversation. I mean, I was really? Into racing.
Oh, okay. So they knew. They saw this coming.
No, yeah. We are always talking about racing. It's the everyday life. I mean, with my dad, we are always thinking about, yeah, we should do that or this or that or every day. So in my family, it was no other option. But then in uni or something, they asked me about, what is this? And how do you, I don't know, they are surprised that I'm into that and they don't know the world. So I invite them to the track when I have races here in Barcelona or everything. And they are like, what? What's this? But they don't really get it. I don't know.
Must be amazing, honestly.
So what, the W Series seems like quite a close-knit group of drivers and kind of a staff that are behind it. Everyone's very passionate about pushing forward. What are your relationships with the drivers like off the track? Are you all friends? Obviously, there's competition between you, but are you still friends?
Yeah. I only met them in the workshop we did in London a couple months ago. What? I can't remember even. And I was really, really surprised about the relationship they had between each other. I mean, I would have never thought about such a good relationship. They are friends and they are competing and everything's so nice with everyone. And that doesn't happen in competition with your team. Maybe inside the team you do, but you don't have this much relationship with other teams, so with other drivers. And I was amazed by that. I don't really know them that much. It was a week, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think I'm so lucky that I think that's a really great thing about motorsport. And for people that don't maybe follow, might only just focus, say, for example, on like Formula One. But I think a lot of these racers that grow together and learn how to drive and learn to become better professionals. And so you almost become like a team. And I think you see that in modern day Formula One, for example, you see like the Charles Leclerc, Alex Albons and all these drivers that are e-racing together and they seem like they're best friends. So it's so good that there is such a tight community. And I think that's so important because that is what will help grow motorsport. That's what will help grow the W Series. And that's so important. But for you, Madam, do you have, are there any personal people in your life that became massive inspirations for you, but also are there any drivers that are very big inspirations for you career-wise?
I've always had Michael Schumacher in my mind. Like, yeah, he has been my childhood idol. And yeah, but now I really love the way that young drivers are getting into F1 and the way they are behaving and how they get with each other. And I don't know, the aggressivity and also the everything. And I like to focus on these drivers like Leclerc, Verstappen, and not just because of the person they are, but also what they do on track and the qualities they have. So I have to look for these qualities and apply them to myself.
I think we're so lucky as well, because with social media now, it's so different. I feel a similar kind of connection that you have with Michael Schumacher, because I grew up watching Formula One of my parents, and obviously Michael Schumacher was the man. And now we're so lucky that with social media, we have, you know, the opportunity now to be closer to these drivers because of, you know, how we can access them. And I think that also is very relevant to W Series as well, because now racing fans have a way to connect to not just what is seen at the top of Formula One. So, for example, in your case, now you're a part of the W Series. So how does that feel now, making that transition? You know, of course, doing like F4 races and so forth. Now you're part of W Series. Of course, the current climate of the world right now, but how does it feel to be now a part of this?
It's amazing. I mean, the opportunity they gave me, it's my whole career. I mean, I wouldn't have one if it wasn't for them. Really, it's that way.
Yeah.
And I can only be grateful for being there and for have been selected. And yeah, I can't really believe it for now, because I really, the season haven't started, and the only thing I have done is the workshop. So
yeah,
I'm not really that now, and I can't believe it yet.
I guess it kind of feels surreal, because you obviously, you know, you're a part of it, but you haven't got started, and you're thinking, I'm just so frustrated and want to
exactly
just start. And I guess
right now I should be in Valencia testing, and I'm at home, you know.
I mean, that's the, what can you do? You have to be paid. How did you, this is interesting, how did you find out? So when you got told that you were going to be part of W Series, did you find out an email? Did someone within your team call you? Did family? How does that normally work?
I was talking to someone on the phone, and I had a call from London. And what is this? I don't know.
What do these English people want?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. No idea. So yeah, I ended talking with the people I was talking, and then I called back. Let's see. And suddenly a voice says, like, hey, W Series, what can I help you with? I'm like, what? And they called me back, and then they told me. So it was like, what? Is this for real? I was talking to somebody else, and I wasn't paying attention to this. I wasn't expecting that. So it was really, really a surprise. And I still really
can't believe it. Imagine if you didn't call them back.
Yeah.
It could have been the end.
Emails.
So, emails, yeah. Well, you'd hope, wouldn't you? So, as Matt said, the W Series is this year has been, as everything has, and affected by everything that's been going on in the world. But as a racing series, we love it. We love the fact that it's pioneering women in racing. Do you think that the W Series has made the right step in the right direction, and it's pushing boundaries? And do you think that realistically, it is going to be a big springboard for everyone's career? We've seen someone like Jamie Chadwick, who won last year, getting a lot of attention. So do you think it's a good move? Do you think it's the right move? And is there more to come?
Yes, for sure. I think there are many people that are not convinced yet, but I think the championship has shown that they have done the good thing. I mean, you now know all of them, all of the drivers,
yeah.
And it's a big step. We need to be known. And then the other part is, I also know them because of W Series. And that's what made me step up into a Formula 4. I would never have even thought about competing in formulas if it wasn't for W Series, because, you know, they gave me the chance, they gave me the dream. It was a
dream.
Like here, like everyone dreams about being in Formula One, but no. And then this is a step that gives you the opportunity and the dream, like real, like here, like, yeah, I can get to this, and this can get me to there. So it's not only the opportunity of that, but the what they are motivating many young drivers and like girls are now taking it more seriously or insisting more on racing, and I think that's really, really important.
So it must be incredible to be part of the series that inspired you to get into racing from the start, right? Because that's obviously Formula One is probably your ultimate dream, as it is many people's, including mine when I was a kid. but to be part of the W Series, it must feel A, incredible because you made it, but it must be a massive responsibility that you're part of that next generation that's inspiring young girls. Like, you could be the reason that someone from your hometown or from someone in London, for example, could get into racing and could be the next world champion. How does that feel that you've got that, like, that is almost that responsibility to push those next girl, that next group of girls forward?
It is a responsibility, but it doesn't put pressure on you because you're doing what you love and you're showing your passion to these girls and showing them they can. So it's a pleasure, really. It's a pleasure. And I can still not imagine me being the girl who inspires. I'm the one inspired by others, and yeah, it's really big. It's really big.
You just like to go racing on a Sunday, really, don't you? that's totally fun. I would do the same. So another thing about W Series that not a lot of people that watch it know is that it's basically a pure spec series. So everyone has the same car. No one has a team per se. Everyone switches engineers. As someone who is getting into racing, who's raced in Formula 4, and who's seen teams within racing cause a lot of controversy, how do you think? Do you think that's the best way to race, and it's the best way to kind of get the best out of the driver?
Sure. It's the only way you have the same conditions, and you depend only on the driving skills. And there are always little differences, like you can control them. But yeah, I think that's the most equality you would get from racing, but also this is a sport and this is a business. Teams must exist and championships won them, so yeah, they have to work together and you have to work together with the team to improve. So that's it, that's competitivity too.
Let's break down like what for us novices, i.e. me,
What are you talking about?
I saw Sam being like, "Oh, a second, I think I know a lot." There he is. I just want to spell out for people that are looking to get into, follow your footsteps. Like, what is the process about the, break down what you do over the weekend, the race weekend. So, from when you get up to racing, how does it work?
It's not only the weekend.
Okay.
It's a lifestyle, as I said. Mm-hmm. But then when you get to the weekend, you are so used to do the same. And you have been thinking about that a lot of time. So you are prepared. You already know what to do. And yeah, you wake up. You try to sleep the first weekend of the race because I'm so excited I can't sleep. And then just try to stay calm. Try to enjoy every minute because you don't know. Mm-hmm. This is a sport so cruel. You don't know where will you be in the next race, if you will be able to race or not. So you have to enjoy every minute, and I think that's the most important thing in a race weekend or in every race, because that makes you give more than you would normally do, because you enjoy it so much that you cannot let this opportunity pass.
So do you have like any like superstitions before you race? Is it like a lucky helmet, lucky socks or something like that that you have?
No, but as the season is progressing, you start to get, in this race I was with this, this love and it went well and this one didn't. And then you start saying, no, I need to stop that. I need to say, I put the other gloves, it will be okay. And it doesn't happen anymore. So need to block this thinking, because it doesn't depend on gloves or no socks or helmet or anything. It's you. So if you start saying, oh, like blaming other things, you don't progress. So start focusing on yourself and on what you can improve.
I only ask that because, I mentioned this pretty much, I think, probably every week. It's because it was such a shocking answer to me when we spoke to Pierre Gasly about, you know, his pre-match ritual. And one of them is to listen to Candy Shop, 50 Cent, before a race. And I was thinking, that's a very sexy answer. One, and two, it's the weirdest song for you to be able to listen to.
A Frenchman listen to 50 Cent before a
yeah,
race.
Yeah, so nothing like, you're not going to give us any exclusives when it comes to that.
Sorry.
So there's no secret song that you listen to or anything like that.
I used to listen to Wings from Macklemore, but
solid choice.
That's up there now.
That's a wicked choice.
That's up there now. So that's going up there with Pierre's choice there as well.
We should start a playlist of racing drivers pre-track songs.
Right. So we want like a couple of songs from you when we speak to you off of air. So what's your favorite track that you race at them so far, and what one are you looking forward to in the future?
I've raced in few, but from now it's Jerez, I think. You know the track in the south of Spain?
Ooh, Jerez, where all the old F1 testing used to be.
Exactly.
Oh, all the old F1 races.
I went there recently with, I was working with Lamborghini and doing a job there. And I loved it because one, in the south of Spain, it is so, so unbelievably warm. Like it's different warmth than any part of Spain. Exactly. It is warm. But of course, there is obviously so much history in that track. But also, it's actually a really fun track to race as well.
It is. I loved it. I was there last season and it was amazing. But also, then, of the future, we were going to race in Austin. I would have loved that. I didn't know any track. I don't know. I don't care. Any track, I drive.
That's actually there's quite a few tracks on the 2020 or that were on the 2020 calendar that are pretty big. So you've got Monza, which is obviously an insane track to drive at. You've got the Circuit of the Americas, which is a wicked track. How does it feel to be racing in the W Series and pioneering women in motorsport, but also racing on some of these kind of like insanely historical tracks? While the Circuit Americas is quite new, it's obviously one of F1's biggest events at the end of the season. How does it feel to race on those F1 tracks?
The moment they told me we would, I cried. I literally cried. Because last year, on January, I was in my home. I wasn't racing. I wasn't racing in the formulas. I wasn't racing at all. And a year apart, racing in Circuit of the Americas, going to Mexico, I don't know, and it still is unbelievable. It's too much for me to take on.
Because that track in Mexico is incredible. Like the baseball stadium is one of my favorite corners, driving straight through the middle of it. So I can imagine even watching that race is insane. So I can imagine like actually racing on that track is just absolutely breathtaking. Or like, even just knowing that you've got that, you're about to do it, must be amazing. I'm getting a little bit excited.
But this is the amazing thing about becoming a new racer, being a young racing driver, is you get to visit these places and get to experience things that you would have never expected. And a place like Mexico, it's such a magical track. And I went to the Mexican Grand Prix once, and it's amazing that you could just drive through the city. Well, I say drive, you kind of crawl through the traffic, and then eventually you end up at this incredible racetrack that appears, it just appears, and you're here. You can just suddenly hear it. It's not like when you, I don't know, for example, here, when you go to Silverstone, we just drive up the motorway for such a long time, and then eventually we have it. But in Mexico, all of a sudden, there's a track. And I think that's what would be really exciting for drivers, is you get to, like, you know, of course, get to explore the world. But let's say life for Ben away from the track in the off season. Of course, you're at the moment you're studying. you have your pole vault life, but what do you like to try and do in the off season to keep yourself busy? Is it just back to pole vault or back to studying, or is it other things you like to keep interested in?
Yeah, mainly studying, because last year and the first, in September or so, I was a month and a half out of classes. And so I have to recover all of that and do the exams and everything. So I don't have much time to do many things, but I'm a sports addict. That's all.
That's so it.
Any sport. And this year I have been playing to paddle, you know, like tennis, but with balls and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been sim racing while you've been off?
Yeah, a lot. Many, many hours. In fact, I have a race now.
Are we taking up your race? Ah, well.
No, in a couple hours.
I was going to say, I feel privileged. We're more important.
For now, exactly.
We know where we stand, boys.
Exactly. So, and then when you're doing sim racing, are you racing with other W Series drivers? Are you racing with your friends? Who do you sim race with?
Yeah, now I'm racing with my friends mainly, and I'm training and everything. I don't know.
I guess they hate you because you're always going to win. They're like, this isn't fair. We've got a professional driver here.
No, but with my friends from motorsport. And
oh, yeah. I see. Okay. So is there tips, like any certain tips you've got, like for us mere mortals, like in when it comes to like sim racing, like is there anything that you can kind of teach us?
If I'm honest, I don't really know. I'm really, really bad at sim racing.
Really?
I don't know. People are so fast, and I'm new to this, actually. So I'm really starting now. So I'll tell you in a couple weeks.
I feel that's what all people with natural talent say. They're like, oh, I'm not very good, and they go out and just beat you every single time.
Yeah, she's hustling us because we're race you, and then you'll just be like, gone.
I will say, Dre, is don't put a bet on that one because you probably will lose that one.
I will. I can. Yeah. I can safely say that will happen. No, I'm too excited. Go on.
So we've talked about tracks. We talked about like the feeling of learning. You're going to race at Austin. The feeling of learning. You're going to race at Monza. Out of the Grand Prix of Monaco, Le Mans 24 Hours, or the Indy 500, which of those races would you want to race the most?
Sam, with a big question.
This is because I don't know which one I'd want to race.
Exactly.
Either. You have more of a chance of doing it than I do, because, you know.
Yeah, I was this close to racing Monaco. This.
Oh, what happened?
Budget. Always happens. But yeah, I don't know, because I have been timekeeping in the 24 hours of Le Mans. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed. I don't know, don't make me answer that.
We'll take all three. She's gonna win. She's gonna be the first female. Yeah, she's gonna be the first female Triple Crown winner. Done. Move on.
I will.
we asked your colleague Jess Hawkins. We asked her the same question, and then her first answer was, did I win? I win. Do I win all of them? I was just like, okay. So, how has racing actually, you know, what's changed your life? Like, you know, obviously being noticed, you know, new routines, like what's the biggest changes in your life when it comes to you know, racing now?
Before racing in Formula 4, studying was the first thing. And now with W Series, I see I have a chance, and I see I have an opportunity to take. So studies has come to a second place, and now I'm focusing more on driving and on, making the most of this opportunity, because it's not a little thing. So it's my main goal to take it all.
It's amazing.
I think. I think putting your university study first is probably the better idea. Almost. Says the guy that's not got a degree, so you're fine. So in terms of what's next for kind of for you, for the sport, Where would you like to see W Series go? I mean, I know the three of us would love to see W Series kind of promote drivers through, maybe see the W Series have a second league where, you know, whether it's an F2 car or something like that. Where would you think is the right decision for W Series, and what would you like to see?
That's a difficult one too. Maybe doing a second league with more powerful cars that gives you the opportunity to have more kilometers in more powerful cars, like the EF2 or something, because it happened to Jamie that even winning, she hadn't had the chance to race in FIA EF3. So yeah, there's a big step still, but I don't know, they are doing a really, really good job in the area they are doing. So I think they will do good.
That's cool.
So moving on we're coming up to a close, but final question, of course, while this season, we hopefully will get a season at some point, but I'd love to know, who are you looking forward to racing in W Series? Of course, you've got some Spanish friends in Ega, Marta Garcia, Narea Marti. Is there anyone else? Is it them you're looking forward to racing, or is there anyone else that you think, oh, this will be good competition?
And the thing is, as we haven't been on track altogether, I don't know where I'll be. But yeah, of course, I love to race Alice. I love to race Petke. I love to race Jamie. I like to be in the top. So Marta, everyone on top, whoever is on top.
That's a good competition there. There's some national pride you can play for. So
going for number one.
Exactly.
You hear that, Jess and Jamie? She's coming for you. All of you.
We'll come back at the end of the season for an end of season review and see.
Thank you so much, Milen, for spending time with us. And, you know, honestly, you're a role model to more people than you actually realize. I've got a little girl who is, I was telling her that I'm going to be speaking to you or showing you your pictures on Instagram. Amazing, by the way. We're expecting follow back as well, definitely. But like that, you know, I think, you know, hats off to you for being able to juggle studies and just being such a role model. You know, I'm really, really, really looking forward to seeing you race and getting to know you and actually seeing you in person, not in this little box that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, I hope it's soon.
So tell people where to follow you. Are you more of an Instagram or are you more of a Twitter? Or,
I have both. And it's the same name. It's Belen García S.
So we'll put the links below as well. And, obviously, guys, we're going to be pushing more and more and more the W Series, W Series, and making sure that we let you guys know that these guys are coming and we're going to make sure that champion you guys to get into Formula One at some point. We definitely will. Obviously, you guys got all the talent, so there's no reason. All we need is keep on giving you exposure and giving you more interviews and getting more people to be able to get to know yourselves. Honestly, salute to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's so nice.
Muchas gracias. Mucho gusto.
Make sure you guys keep on subscribing to our YouTube channel, following us on our Verge platforms, which is all below. I won't keep on reeling it off again because we've got so many things going on with Verge at Verge Mag and alternative sports that literally I could be on. We've been working hard, Belen. I'll tell you, we've been working very, very hard on our social medias. You can see, right?
Yeah.
No, we appreciate you and thank you very much, guys. Yeah, keep indoors, keep safe. And tune in for the next one. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.